Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Conquest Chronicles. This is Matt here along with Dina, and we're here live at the Courtyard Marriott in El Segundo. Dina, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. I went to my first USC baseball game. I never went to a game when I was at SC. I'd go to practices, and I went to an alumni game, but never to an actual game.
Been to like three USC baseball games. And an interesting thing is they were all against UCLA. And every time they lost to UCLA. So that's a sign that I got to stop knowing because that can't happen anymore. But today, we, as mentioned, we went to the USC-UCLA baseball game as we plugged on Twitter for a month. And it was pretty interesting. It started off very well. Blake Sable had a first pitch home run to start the game, to start things off with the game.
Yeah, I'm glad I caught that on video. So I was just gonna record the first pitch just to, you know, put on Twitter, oh, first pitch, here we go.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being a home run, so I'm glad I decided to start recording when I did.
It was actually pretty good, and it was actually pretty amazing to get that on camera. And USC Baseball ended up retweeting it, which is pretty good. But it started off very well. USC went up 4-0 in the I want to say the first three innings.
Yeah,
and then next thing you know, just the wheels fell off.
They didn't score again until the ninth.
The wheels ended up falling off. UCLA went on a 7-0 run. They scored 7 unanswered runs. And USC tried a late comeback. As you mentioned, Dina, they scored a run in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. But couldn't get the final two to tie the game up. And USC ended up losing 7-5. In the first game. Oklahoma State and Michigan played earlier, went into extra innings. Oklahoma State ended up winning 3-2 in the first game of the doubleheader at Dodger Stadium. Overall, very good. It was a good experience. It was a good game.
I think it was sloppy on USC's part.
Yeah,
there was 4 errors that cost them a lot of runs. Yeah, the catcher was dropping balls. The pitcher, 2 pitchers, mishandled throws to first base. And then on the coaching side of it, I don't know why you would send 2 guys to try to steal second when we're up 4-0 because they both were thrown out. So.
And one could have scored a run if you didn't go for a steal. Ended up being a double, actually. I think it was the next pitch. It was a double. And that could have scored a run right there. So, I don't know. It's just that with Dan Hubbs, he's in year 4 of his contract, I believe. At this rate, going into conference play, you got to play Oklahoma State, Arizona State, Arizona, UCLA again. Oregon State. I mean, You got to play these opponents who are quality opponents in the conference, and yet right now you're struggling. So,
yeah,
it's like
Dan Hubbs is definitely in the hot seat if he wasn't already last year. I mean, they haven't been to the tournament since 2015, which isn't too far back, but
when you're USC,
yeah.
That's kind of too far. When you're USC baseball, it's too far. When you're a prestigious program like USC and the talent that you bring in, no, 2015 is kind of, again, it's too far. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. At the end of the day.
We don't know if Lynn Swanson is even doing anything anyway. So
yeah.
Dan Hubbs might not even be worried.
It is Lynn Swann as an AD. He didn't let go Clay Helton when Clay Helton needed to be let go. But USC's a young team still. I mean, if you want to give Dan Hubbs any excuse, that's the major excuse you can give him. USC is still a young team. still full of freshmen and sophomores, and you know, but players got to step up if they want to get to where they want to get to. If they want to make the NCAA tournament again, players just got to step up. And today's game, that was no excuse. You're up against a top five team. You got a top five team up 4-0 in the first two innings, and just shoot yourself in the foot. I mean, I feel like that's USC athletics. This whole year has been have a lead and shoot yourself in the foot and squander those leads away. It happened with football. Happens with basketball. Mm-hmm. Happens with baseball. I mean, next thing you know it, I feel like...
Next thing you know it, our national championship, almost every year, water polo and swim team.
Oh, my God. If they end up being bad, then something's wrong. Something's really wrong. But overall, what did you think of the whole experience of it, Nina?
It was fun. I liked it. I think Dodger Stadium's really nice. I was amazed by how big the parking lots were.
Yeah.
It's easy to navigate. It's not too huge. Only thing is they only had two snack bars open, one at one side and one on the other. So the lines were like hour rate waits, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, they were. I felt like I missed a whole inning just trying to get fries. I just wanted a cup of fries.
And I didn't even go. You waited like 35 minutes, and then you're like, nah.
I wanted a cup of fries, and I couldn't even get a cup of fries. So that was the highlight of that.
We had good seats, too. We were like second front row from the field.
Oh, yeah. And if you've seen the pictures on our Twitter account, you'll see how close we were. It was really good. Really good seats. Funny that our Lyft driver wouldn't go in, saying, oh, I can't go in there. This as far as I can drop you guys off, leaving Dina and I to just go on that hike up that hill.
I love that hike, though. Oh, excuse me. I needed the exercise.
If you want, you can start at the bottom of the hill and then work all the way. It's a tiring exercise. I'm surprised my hamstring and my quads kind of took it.
My calves started to get sore at the end, but
yeah, it builds calves muscles. I'll say that much. It builds it. So if you go jump, your vertical will expand. That's for sure. But all in all, like I said, it was a good experience. It was I enjoyed it as usual. If you're a baseball fan, this is something that I think every baseball fan should check out while the Dodgers and the Angels are at spring training in Arizona. Which everybody loves to go to Arizona. It's nothing wrong with paying.
I don't know why people like to go to Arizona. It's too hot.
It is.
And it's ugly.
To go to bars and stuff desert. And to run into players. But if you want to see baseball, this is actually good because it's $12. You get a great seat for $12.
Yeah, it's cheaper than a. It was like. Like those garlic fries were almost the same price as a ticket.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you don't want, I mean, you could bring, and we should have thought of that, but to bring your own food, they do allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. But it was, I liked how it was. My only complaint was concessions and USC not having a pop-up shop, at least for them.
Yeah, UCLA that was kind of weird. Yeah, UCLA had their little, what do you call those? Not awnings, but
little tent shops or whatever.
Little gift shop type thing. And there was nothing for USC, which was odd.
Yeah, and you would think, though they brought the band and the song girls.
Yeah, but I'm sure you don't have to pick between the two.
No, you don't. Because anywhere that the Trojan, the USC Trojan marching band go, the song girls are right there. So, but I thought USC would have like at least a pop-up shop or something.
That's kind of odd. Maybe. I wonder if it's because I noticed the one for UCLA was an online shop. It said like UCLAsomething.com.
Yeah.
Like UCLAshop.com or whatever the case was.
USC
book. USC's good with merchandise though. Like I'll go on to like a hat company that has all these college teams and they don't have USC just because their rights, since it's a since it's a private school, their rights are super hard to get.
Yeah, they tend to be picky because it's the college, it's the college licensing, yeah. The college licensing company.
That most these, like, if you go on, unless you're going to like Fanatics or the bookstore, or there's another one that's through Fanatics, like USCShop.com.
Yeah, the shop on the USC Athletic website.
If you're trying to go to like New Era, I don't know if New Era has SC stuff on their site.
They do.
47 brand doesn't have USC stuff. Top of the World, another sports company, apparel company, doesn't have anything SC.
New Era, they make the USC hats, but I don't know if they have it on there.
Yeah, I don't think they have it on there.
I gotta, next time I go to New Era, I'm gonna check, actually.
So that was annoying.
Yeah.
But I'm glad the band was there, because that was something I was excited to hear.
Oh, yeah, and they were right behind us, too.
Yeah, they were literally right behind us.
They were right behind us, and that, it made me miss football season that
yeah.
much more. But, we actually, afterwards, we did go and get food. We went to Philippe's, actually.
Is it Philippe's or Philippe's?
It's Philippe's.
Philippe's?
From what I was corrected. It was Philippe's. And we went to Philippe's, and it was better than advertised, I think. In my opinion, I think
I don't
it was,
know about you, but my meat was so fatty.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you get? The
I just got the roast beef. I don't really
I got the same thing.
I didn't like it. I wouldn't go back. The potato salad wasn't, it was the sweet kind. I don't really like the sweet kind of potato salad. So I should have got, like, their chili looked good. I probably would like the chili, and I should have got dessert because that looked really good too. But yeah, not a fan of the beef dip and the potato salad.
I was actually
would have been good if my meat wasn't so fat. I'm picky with meat too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I cut off every ounce of fat on steak. I'm paranoid about chicken. So I'm very picky with meats. So
I was actually happy with what I got. So it was good to me. I think
the
it was
bread
good.
Was good, and their mustard. I don't know if you would call that mustard. It was like this horseradishy.
It
sauce
was good. It was
that
spicy.
Burned the hell out of my nose, but it was so good because I like spicy stuff like that, like wasabi.
I will say
horseradish
kind
of stuff.
I will say if you get a cold,
yeah,
that's that. It will actually open you up because if you eat something
I've never snorted cocaine, but I took a lot of that mustard, a bite of that mustard, like too much, and my nose was on fire. I felt like that's what it might feel like to snort cocaine.
Oh my God.
So if any of you have ever done that, does it really feel like if you take too much of wasabi?
I'm not advocating for it. I'm not advocating for that. Not advocating for that.
So as we move into, I don't know where we drifted off with mustard and Philippe's and cocaine, as he brought that up. Which, speaking of food, before we move into spring football, Dina had a picture on Snapchat of corn and pizza. Or pizza, corn on pizza. It's a weird concept that I've heard. Or that I've seen.
What was that? One of those places, I don't know if you've ever been to Blaze or Pieology.
I've been to Pieology, actually.
Yeah, I went to a place just like that called Mod Pizza, where you just build your own, and they had corn. So I put corn on it, because I like corn. If you want to know what was... This is totally off topic, but I put corn, pepperoni, Greek olives, pineapple, and jalapenos, and gorgonzola, cheese, and mozzarella.
See, like, the rest of that I saw, and I was like, okay, I can see. The corn was what threw me off.
I mean, so, you can't really taste it, but I just figured, why not?
So do you like... So do you put pineapple on pizza too?
I do, but I don't like Hawaiian pizza because I don't like the Canadian bacon on there.
Okay. See, I put pineapple on mine, but...
I like pineapple mixed with pepperoni and olives. So that's a good mixture.
Okay, yeah.
What I go for if I'm like at Papa John's or something.
Yeah, I'll do that actually.
But yeah, not Hawaiian pizza. That's gross.
Well, as we move in, as we talk about pizza and everything, but with spring football coming up, with spring football actually here, not too much has really happened. I mean, other than it started off with Greg Johnson actually transferring or going into the transfer portal along with Velus Jones. Now, with Velus Jones, his reasoning, I believe, is more family-related or something from what I've heard. Mm-hmm. But Michael Pittman did an interview, and he said, don't count out Velus Jones returning. So the door's not shut there. That could be a possibility, though we haven't heard anything since. Greg Johnson, on the other hand, he returned to practice on Thursday, last Thursday. He returned to practice on Thursday, and Helton gave an update on Saturday that he was actually back with the team. He was out of the transfer portal, and he's back with the team. So that gives them some depth at corner. Doesn't completely solve the depth at corner because right now, I believe the Trojans only have 4 scholarship cornerbacks right now. And Talanoa Hufanga and Isaiah Polamau, they're both still out recovering from injury stuff last season. But right now, the depth at defensive back and at wide receiver is not all quite there yet. It's not all quite there. It won't be until the summer and the fall. Max Williams started doing some reps. He had a big knee brace. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on him to see what he does. Solomon Tulalapupu, excuse me. He's also been looking good. I believe Pelote Gayoteote, he was very excited, but he's also been looking good. And a lot of position changes, too. There's been a lot of position changes. I believe they move I'm butchering names tonight. But they moved quite a few guys to the inside. They moved John Houston Jr. to the wheel. They moved Gayoteote to inside, which I think that was going to be a given. That was going to happen. They moved Kristen Rector to the Predator linebacker position, which was Porter Gustin's position. And at outside linebacker or at Sam backer, you have Abdul Malik McLean, Hunter Echols, and Eric Winston also battling for that position at linebacker. So quite they've been making some shifts on defense to try to play to the strength, you know, to try to play to some strengths. What do you think about this spring? Oh, and then there's competition. So every position is open. But what do you think so far about from what you've been hearing with USC spring practice? I mean, it's just seemed like it's been very fundamental, which is good and very simple.
Yeah, I've heard really good things. I've heard, you know, it's just down to, like you said, the fundamentals and discipline, limiting penalties, which, you mean, there's nothing more simple than, you know, knowing how not to create a penalty and getting back to the fundamentals of tackling and, you know, stuff like that. So far I've heard, you know, and I've seen it's like a good vibe coming from practice. It's not negative. I've heard a few good things about Keaton Slovis, the true freshman quarterback out of Arizona, who was coached by Kurt Warner at his high school. So I think I read that their first week of practice, he only threw one interception and pretty much made every throw besides that. So he's been having a good spring camp. I've heard good things about all the QBs, but just because Slovis is a true freshman, that one stands out to me. I've heard that the quarterbacks are doing well with Graham Harrell's new offense, how it's simplified and not complicated, which, you know, was his main thing going into this new coaching job, was he wanted to simplify it down for the quarterbacks, simplify the offense down. So all in all, I've heard really good things. I haven't really heard anything negative out of spring camp.
I mean, I think in all honesty, how the way spring camp's been going is, especially with the quarterback position, because it's an open competition. But from what I've been reading, from what I've been seeing after the first week, I don't think it's going to be JT Daniels. It's going to be JT Daniels' job to lose right now. And I know that don't make a lot of people happy, but maybe it's something that he needs. Maybe it's something that he needs. Now, it could change. Again, they're not going to announce who's a starter or anything. They're going to do depth charts, I believe. Hilton's going to do depth charts every Friday, every week. Right now, just how everything is, just practice seems like it's more lively, I guess, or there's more competition. It's more up-tempo. It's more game-like. And that's what was the issue, was that USC was not preparing for games. Because you remember, Dina, we would be on a podcast every Sunday or every Tuesday talking about what the heck is USC doing to prepare for this game. And we would, and Dina and I would text each other and we'll go, why does it seem like they're not prepared for this game? And a lot of people will see it. And I think they're trying to dispel that. Now, it's not perfect, but I think the practice habits is what they're trying to change. Right. And I mean, you have new coaches there, new voices, you know, it's new voices, it's open competition, it's stuff like that. So it feels like it's a breath of fresh air. And especially you got that from Graham Harrell when he was saying, we're going to make the offense simple. We're going to make everything simple. And from what I'm hearing, the offense is looking amazing. The offense is looking very good. I mean, right now USC is trying to run the air raid with a four receiver set. And so far it's been looking good because teams got to prepare to cover Michael Pittman Jr. and Velus Jones, or not Velus Jones, but Tyler Vaughns and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And a name that I've heard that's been also been impressing is Devin Williams. I've heard Devin Williams been doing a lot of good things during.
I mean, he was impressive those couple games he came in last year, though, too.
Yeah, he did. He was.
The thing about, just going back to JT Daniels, the thing that he has a leg up with Graham Harrell, not just because he was a starter last year, but the air raid offense is more suitable for him than Jack Sears, you know, just because of JT Daniels' arm. You know, he's more of a sit back in the pocket, at least in college now, he's a sit back in the pocket and throw type of guy, whereas Sears is more of an RPO type quarterback. So that's another thing JT Daniels has going for his advantage.
I think Sears and Fink are more of the RPO type of guys. Sears is more of like Darnold. Right. I know people are like, what kind of comparison? But look at the Arizona State game. Sears is more like Darnold. His style, excuse me. There we go. His style is more like Sam Darnold. It replicates Sam Darnold. But the thing is, Darnold, I think, when it comes to making plays on the fly, was a lot better.
Right.
And you knew it. Even the Utah game, his first start, you knew it. You knew Darnold was the better quarterback. with Sears, he's efficient. He's athletic. He's not afraid to run, but he fit that offense better than JT Daniels, if that makes sense. JT Daniels is more of an air raid type of quarterback, because that modern day, that's really what they ran, was an air raid style offense.
And I really want to see what Sears could do in a couple games, you know. On one hand, I really want JT to succeed and get out of that freshman funk he was in.
Right.
You know, and be the five-star, you know, quarterback everyone thought he would be. But on the other hand, I really kind of would like to see Sears, you know, take the reins and see what he could do. But
and I felt last year that should have been it. Given the struggles that JT Daniels had, and at that point, JT Daniels was in over his head. But I honestly,
right, there was a couple. Yeah, there was a couple points where they should have pulled him during games for Sears. But
probably the Utah game after
Daniels. Utah game, the UCLA game.
Yeah, the UCLA game though, it didn't start unraveling until he threw that arm punt to nobody. The UCLA game, I think, that was such an up-and-down game, because you thought it would be okay, and then the offense stalled, and then just JT Daniels just threw that arm punt that Lord knows who.
Yeah.
Probably saw the ghost of Dwayne Jarrett. I know Dwayne Jarrett's alive, but probably saw, like, I don't know, saw somebody there. I'm trying to figure out who. The Notre Dame game, I felt probably that should have been the game Sears should have started. But I get why you stick with him, because that probably would have been the equivalent to, I guess you could say it would have been the equivalent to benching Matt Barkley for Mitch Mustaine.
Yeah, but it was the last game of the season. We weren't going to a bowl we had a chance. Determined it, yeah.
If they would have won, then they would have been bowl eligible, and they would have went to, like, some bowl game. Which, by the way, did you hear that after next season, they're changing the bowl? The bowls are changing, actually.
No, I didn't hear that. What are they doing?
So, they're changing the bowl alliances. The Las Vegas Bowl is going to be a Big Ten SEC.
Really?
The Big Ten or the SEC will face the Pac-12 in the Las Vegas Bowl at the new Las Vegas Stadium. Los Angeles will be getting a bowl game between the Mountain West and the Pac-12 at the new Inglewood Stadium. So, Los Angeles.
In-N-Out Bowl. The marketing and the merchandise you could sell for that game
is through the roof.
Yep.
Yeah, because if it's Mountain West, then and Pac-12, you might as well do it that way. Who knows? What? I don't know. In-N-Out Bowl, maybe the Tommy Bowl,
Ray-Ban Bowl.
Ray-Ban Bowl.
It's a lot of money there.
They're changing a lot. The ACC is going to be the ACC against the Pac-12 in the Holiday Bowl, though I think the Holiday Bowl may not last. It's going to depend on if they can move that game to downtown San Diego and play it at Petco Park. If they can't play that game at Petco Park, they might do away with the Holiday Bowl, unfortunately. Though there are some people who enjoy going to the Holiday Bowl. I don't enjoy it. It's at a time where it's too cold. It's too cold there. And just, I don't know. I didn't like it. And the stadium is super old.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Then again, we lost that game too, because they were playing Wisconsin. But if you were to tell me USC would go to the Rose Bowl the next year, then I probably would have been okay with it. But yeah, that's those are the changes being made. And you knew the Vegas Bowl was going to end up being a bigger bowl game because of where it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think the fact that LA is finally getting a bowl game is good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll have trouble selling tickets.
No, but the college football playoff is coming to LA soon too.
Yeah,
that is coming soon. Are you gonna go? I mean, I know it's years down the road, but are you, like, regardless of the team, are you gonna go?
No, tickets are way too expensive for that.
When Bama and Clemson played, they went down, and then they ended up going up like the day of the game.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't pay. If someone paid for my ticket, I'd go, but I wouldn't pay money to go see another team play.
Oh, yeah, if someone paid for your ticket, then, yeah, you definitely would have to go. I'd go if somebody paid for my ticket. That's for sure. But other than that, we'll go ahead. Let's get into some things. Seeing that we explored LA, we went to Philippe's. Dina didn't think it was all that.
No.
I saw you gave it a 4 out of 10, actually.
Yeah, I mean the beef. I had the beef. The beef. What do you call it? Beef melt.
The beef dip.
Yeah, beef dip. I don't know if it was just the cut of meat I got, but it was super fatty, super chewy. And I hate when meat's fatty and chewy like that, so I didn't like it. And then the potato salad was sweet, and I like more mayonnaise-y potato salad. I think when it's sweet, you make it with salad dressing. Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't like that kind. I like the where you just make it with mayonnaise, so I wasn't a fan of that. Their pie looked good, though. I should have got their pie.
So would you say it goes on your overrated list? Or
for the sandwich, yes. I mean, their chili looked good. I love chili, and it's hard to fuck up chili, so I'm sure that would have been good. Just the beef dip overrated.
Yeah, maybe it's something. If we try something else, then maybe. I think if you try, I didn't mind it, actually.
I'd go back and try something else.
Yeah, I'd definitely go back. As far as overrated to me, I think I can't think of food places that's overrated. I know somebody's gonna say Roscoe's, and I know Roscoe's is not overrated. Roscoe's is properly rated.
King Taco is overrated.
King Taco is overrated.
The only reason people or got so much hype is because it's cheap.
Yeah, you can go to a lot of food taco or a lot of taco trucks, and that's better than King Taco. In my honest, humble opinion, I went to King Taco once, and that was that. It's completely overrated to me. King Taco is completely overrated to me.
Again, with the meat, I didn't like the meat. It was fatty, chewy. They messed up my order.
No, yeah. Anywhere you go, they mess up in order. That's that.
Underrated food place. I'd say one that's just about the hype, and I've only been there once, but I'd say it's as good as people say it is Earth Cafe.
I've never been.
It's really, I've been there once, and I got a chicken pesto sandwich, I think, and it was really good. And I also got, I think I got a green tea boba smoothie without the boba in it. And that was really good. So, it's expensive.
Have you been to the Hat?
I have not. And there's one about 30 minutes away from me where I have not been.
The Hat, from what I heard, From what I heard, or not from what I've heard, but I've had the hat before, and the hat's actually pretty good.
Pastrami, I'm telling you, I'm picky with meats. If it's fatty, I'm not going to like it. If the pastrami's fatty, like, I love lunch meat pastrami, but I like, I think it's in the red, like, the red packaging. I think it's Foster Farms. But they make good lunch meat pastrami, whoever that red, comes in that red little Tupperware thing. But, yeah, pastrami for me has to be not, I mean, any meat for me has to be not fatty.
Another place, I'm trying to think of another place. Actually, Tommy's. I can't believe I'm going to say Tommy's is very underrated because not a lot of people talk about Tommy's like that.
I've never been there.
There's not many. So there used to be a good amount, actually. There used to be a certain amount. There used to be one in Santa Monica. There's the one on Pico and Rampart. There's one. Oh, it's not Pico and Rampart, but it's on Rampart. It's one on Rampart. Another one in Long Beach. It's another one in Long Beach.
What about...
And there's one by Six Flags. And then there's one by Six Flags and there's one in the Valley.
What about Pink's?
Overrated. Overrated.
I've never had it, but my coworker loves it. But he doesn't even get the hot, like a standard hot dog. I think he gets like a, some sort of chili burrito hot dog.
Pink's is, all right, look. I'm gonna go into this because this has really got to me. Pink's is to me very overrated. So my aunt, before she passed, my aunt brought Pink's to my house. Actually, she brought it here one day, tried it. That was the last time I had Pink's. No, I had it two other times actually. Pink's to me is very overrated. Everyone is like, oh, Pink's, I gotta try Pink's. It's just another hot dog. It tastes like a regular old hot dog that you can make at home. It really does. And the thing is, the line wraps around the corner. I mean, to me, it's overrated. It's very overrated. It's as overrated as a Dodger dog. Dodger dogs are good, but it's overrated. It's not 16.75, or it's not 6.75.
Yeah, a Dodger dog should be $3 max because it doesn't come with anything on it.
You can go to Angel Stadium and get a hot dog for $3.
If I'm paying $6.50 for a hot dog, it better come with like a pickle and, well, I like pickles and onions. All I know you can put all that stuff on yourself, but that's just a hassle. Just put it on there for me. It better be coming with, you know, a big, like, I don't know if you've ever had Costco hot dogs. Those are thick and juicy and long. They're so good.
Yeah, you can go and get, like, you could get a better hot dog
anywhere else. Honestly, Costco hot dogs are the best hot dogs I've ever had.
I'd agree. I would agree there.
And for $1.50, you can get a hot dog and a drink.
Oh, there's multiple locations. Okay, so I didn't know there was one in San Diego. So here's where Tommy's is. There's three in Vegas. There's three in Las Vegas, which is obvious. There's three in Las Vegas. There's one in San Diego. There's one in Simi Valley. There's one in Riverside.
There's one in Riverside.
Mm-hmm. Huh. There's one in Riverside. There's one in Palmdale. There's one in North. Oh, okay, I know where that one in North Hollywood is. There's one in North Hills. One in Simi Valley. There's one in Valencia. The one by Six Flags is actually in Valencia. There's one in Van Nuys. In Van Nuys, yeah, I know where that one is. That's off the freeway. There's one in Westminster. There's one in Ventura. So, yeah, there's a lot. There's one in Monrovia.
Yeah, there is a lot.
There's one in Lake Forest. Yeah, there's a lot, actually.
You know what I've always wanted to try?
What's that?
A good Philly cheesesteak, because I've never really had one.
There's one, There's a good place in Northern California.
But I want it to have, like, the cheese sauce, because that looks so good to me. I don't want to just have, like, melted slices of cheese on there.
You know what? Here's the thing, is you have to go...
to Philly?
Yeah, pretty much. Or you have to find somebody, like, an authentic Philly cheesesteak place that makes it like that.
Now, I don't want no, like, peppers on it, because I don't like bell peppers. I know a lot of places out here, when they say, oh, Philly cheesesteak, I don't know if that's a thing, though, in Philly. Do you put bell peppers on?
I don't
know. Do you normally put bell peppers on Philly cheesesteaks? I don't know.
I have a friend of mine. She's been to Philly about maybe 4 or 5 times. I'll ask her, because I know she had a Philly cheesesteak from there. I mean, it's just like if you go to, I can't think of it. It's like if you go to a certain place, like, Detroit is known for their Coney dogs. I know everyone's thinking about New York, but Detroit is known for the Coney dog. And there is a place in Hollywood owned by somebody in Detroit who's from Detroit, though they closed it down. But, you just have to go somewhere where I guess the person is from that city, from like Philly or something. Like, there's a Hawaiian burger place, and the owner's from Hawaii, and it's in Santa Monica, and it's pretty
Speaking
good.
Of Hawaii, this is totally random, but you know what's actually bomb is Ono Hawaiian Barbecue. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have. It is good.
Their macaroni salad is the best I've ever had in my life. Like, when I go, I just get double mac salad instead of the rice, because if you get, like, that combo, whatever plate, you get rice, mac, and then your meat, and I just get double mac. It's so good. But anyway.
Yeah. No, it actually is not that bad. It actually isn't that bad at all. But all in all... now, one more question I want to ask before we end it, because I know we were talking about away games too. If there's one away game, like one USC away game that you could go to, what would it be?
I wish I could have gone last year to the Texas game.
That would have been a good one. Because I would say... excluding Notre Dame, because obviously everybody will say Notre Dame.
Yeah,
that's the obvious, because that's like the biggest dream thing. So outside of Notre Dame, like, if you could pick from the last few years,
definitely Texas number one. I'd like to go to. I've never been to Stanford. I'd like to go there.
Stanford's not bad, actually.
I think Washington would be fun, but that's because I love Seattle. Never been, but I like the look of it and the weather.
I liked it. You know what? Stanford is actually a fun one. I think it's the better of the weekenders of the Bay Area schools, in my honest opinion.
I want to go somewhere. If it's going to be an away game, I want to go to an opponent that has a rich football history and tradition. Like, I don't want to go to Arizona. I don't want to go to Arizona State.
You don't want to go to ASU?
No.
Oh, why not?
There's nothing about Arizona, the Arizona's schools, entices me at all. Nothing about Arizona, despite
that is a good point.
Besides Flagstaff, that's the only town I'd like to go to.
That's random.
That's only because it's in the forest and it snows there.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, like, I want to go to Texas. I want to go to Notre Dame, Washington. I would only not because of their football tradition, but just because of this Seattle.
That you can tailgate on a boat.
You can do that in Tennessee, too.
Do they?
Yeah, because the stadium's right on the river.
I never knew that. It's difficult for me because I've done most of them actually. I did Stanford. I've done ASU. I just did Utah actually. Utah is a fun one actually. Utah is really fun. If you really want to experience like the true college football experience and you don't want to go far, Oregon and Utah are exactly it. And Utah, because Utah people are very friendly at when you go and tailgate with them. Like, they're very friendly people. Like, I've probably been welcomed to probably 10 tailgates and exchange numbers with about maybe 10 people who's like, hey, if you come to town, hit me up, let's go do something. It's really cool. It's really nice. You gotta go to Utah.
Utah'd be all right.
Utah's actually fun. It's fun. It's actually really fun. Seattle, I agree with you on Seattle. I would love to do Seattle. And Texas would have been a fun one, too. Stanford, I did. Stanford's not that bad. Just be prepared. I'm gonna just let you know, if you're going to park somewhere, remember where you park. Like, remember how exactly you got there. Because at nighttime at Stanford, everything looks the same.
I bet.
Like, there's no, once you see it, it looks like it's in a forest. But, like, if you remember where exactly you came from and everything, you'll get it. You'll understand it. Cal is interesting. Because the tailgate scene is not your typical tailgate scene. Like, you're in Berkeley by the stadium, everyone's in a bar and stuff. And then you walk up a little bit, then you're at frat houses. Like, you're by the frat houses and everything. And that's where everyone tailgates. So it's not like your normal tailgate at all. I can't think of anything. Arizona State's interesting. I think with ASU, like, if you're a young party goer, you'll like ASU.
If you like heat, you'll like ASU.
Yeah. Well, it depends when you go, though. Like, if they played in September, yeah, I wouldn't go. I made that mistake once. But if it was like a game in like mid, late November, I think it's manageable because it cools down at that time, actually. It's actually a lot cooler at that time. What about BYU? Would you do the USC-BYU game in Provo?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Just to experience BYU?
I mean, I don't really care about BYU, but... I think it'd be interesting. I feel like Provo would be a pretty spot.
Provo sounds interesting from what I've heard. But I don't think people really stay in Provo. I think people just go stay in Salt Lake City and drive up to Provo. Though people, from what I've heard, people in Provo don't cuss.
Well, Mormons probably don't cuss. Anywhere in Utah.
They have it in and out by the stadium. I know that much.
That's funny.
I know that much. Oh, leave it to me to say that. Yeah, I don't know. It's not much. I wouldn't do Oregon because I've heard Oregon has a bad reputation with fans.
I would. I'd like to do Oregon actually, just because. The atmosphere, I think, would be good, and I think Oregon's beautiful.
I go, but I don't know. Maybe I have to experience it myself.
Maybe I wish I could have been at that 2011 game.
That would have been a fun one to go to.
I remember watching that game.
I remember watching that game too. Am I the only one? Am I the only one who was just on pins and needles that whole game? Even when
I
we
was
had
on
that
pins
lead?
And needles when we were gonna kick the field goal at the end, or they were gonna kick the field goal at the end.
I was on pins and needles the whole game. I think because with that lead, it was when they had the lead, that was that. But other than that, I think that's gonna be all for us for today. you can follow me on Twitter at Matt A. Lowry.
You can follow me at Always Compete.
And you can follow us on Twitter on C Chronicles SBN. We have a lot of pictures. We have a lot of pictures from the USC baseball game at Dodger Stadium. Dina has, again, the video from the home run, from the leadoff first pitch home run, actually, which got like 70 likes and a boatload of retweets and everything. So we have a lot of pictures from that. So make sure you look at that, see how that day went. It was actually, again, a fun day. Also, just pictures of the day in itself. But be sure to check us out on Megaphone, and soon iTunes again. As soon as we get that going, we'll be right back up. All the episodes will be on iTunes. And until then, fight on, everyone.
Fight on.